Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, this hour is going to be fun. Maybe a little and a few feathers ruffled. Get ready. Going to talk some MLB this first half hour. Rod Manfred blaming Mike Trout for the MLB shortcomings in their marketing department. It's absurd. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Second half of the hour, let's talk some NBA. Kawhi Leonard traded from the Spurs to the Raptors. Brad Botkin, NBA writer for CBS Sports, will join us. And then Jake Madison, as the NBA offseason has now settled down, will give us a Pelicans perspective and where they fit into this Western Conference. That's coming up. But I've got to talk about Josh Hader. And it broke on our show last night in the 10 o'clock hour. Didn't really have a lot of time to digest and analyze it. But people uncovered tweets. And first, let me tell you who Josh Hader is. Because a lot of people down here and listening on Josh Hader, who in the world is he? Well, Josh Hader is an all-star pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. Really one of the better young pitchers in baseball right now. Certainly a star, a reliever for the Brewers, and certainly a pivotal member of their division-leading team right now. They expect the Brewers to be certainly contenders in the NL. I know Tim doesn't want to hear that, but they're pretty darn good in the NL Central right now. Timmy, how are your Cubs doing? One? They going to hold off the Brewers? Yeah, I know. They're going to hold off the Brewers there? Yeah, thumbs up from Timmy and his Cubs. But here's some serious stuff, though. So there was obviously somebody who had went through Josh Hader's tweets a long time ago and had this treasure trove of disgusting offensive stuff waiting to drop, and they waited until he went out to the mound yesterday in the All-Star game to drop all of these tweets. And I will tell you what, a lot of times I'm with Tim, who sometimes tells me, hey, you know, it's a little unfair to guys if you're bringing stuff and gals up from, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. If it's one offense, if it's a minor offense, yeah, it can be a little bit offensive, but I kind of agree with you there. This is different. This is a pattern of just complete obscenities, and it kind of takes us into the, you know, the dirty, nasty mind of somebody who frankly needs a lot of help. Now, some of this, and we obviously can't say some of the words here on broadcast radio, but it's a little offensive, but I'll take you through some of the things that he tweeted out at jhater17. Tweets KKK. That's the first thing. I hate gay people. Ha, nah, who am I getting? I was a little N-word, N-word. So about 4 or 5 tweets that use the N-word very regularly, by the way. I'm not going to read them all. I need a B-word that can F-word, cook, and clean right. Suck my blank. I'll murder your family. Gay people freak me out. This dude comes in with pony shirts and a pony mailbag. Hashtag obscenity. Now, there's a lot more than that. This is Josh Hader on his Twitter. This is a Major League Baseball pitcher on the verge of making millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars from his craft. And you know what? As, just like you, a pretty regular dude, that this would not be acceptable in our line of work, I am sick and tired of, just because you make a lot of money, you're in the public eye, and there's a lot of money, I guess, and prestige on the line in your profession, that you get away with this. That is absurd. And Major League Baseball and the Brewers' response to this lacks a lot. Now, we just had a very analogous scenario this week happen with Papa John's. Papa John was caught on a conference call using the N-word. Very inappropriate. He only did it once. still inappropriate. And the backlash was very swift. We're talking about a multi-million dollar business. The face of that business, certainly much more than Hader, is the face of Major League Baseball, or even the face of the Milwaukee Brewers. And what happened to Papa John? He was canned, booted out of his office. No longer going to be the face of Papa John's Pizza, even though his name's on there. And yet, we see not just one thing from Josh Hader. We see a multitude of some of the most offensive, disgusting words on a public platform like Twitter. And just because, apparently, he's a public figure playing sports, that he's going to get away with this. If I said one of the things that he did or tweeted one of the things that he did, I'd be out of a job. If you did, you'd be out of a job. So would everybody else. And you know what? Josh Hader should be out of a job. Here's the response. Major League Baseball, no suspension. They just want Josh Hader to take sensitivity training. The Milwaukee Brewers and their GM, David Stern, here's his quote. We've been in contact with Josh, and he is fully aware of the severity of the situation of his social media comments. In no way, they go on to say, do these sentiments reflect the views of the Brewers organization? And down further in his statement, he has been a good teammate and a good contributor to the team in every way. We'll continue to work through this issue with Josh as we prepare to resume games after the break. That is cowardly. That is insufficient. And frankly, that's obscene, David Stearns. We're past this. Like, we as a society should be past this. There is no other place. There is not a single place in our society where you could say the things that Josh Hader tweeted out and stay in your profession. And I even mean the Oval Office. A lot of things that have come out of that Oval Office, they do not rise anywhere near what we saw here from Hader. If our president of any party in any time said those things, the backlash would be tremendously fierce. This is ridiculous. And I feel dirty being kind of inside the sports fraternity here. Because people are probably looking at sports fans and athletes going, well, this is ridiculous. What are you doing here? The Milwaukee Brewers need to suspend Josh Hader for the rest of the season. And frankly, they should cut him. And he shouldn't get another job. What is it with professional sports where you think that you're above the ethics and the morals and the regulations and the norms of the rest of our American society? Why do we think that sports and athletes and sometimes coaches and owners are above that? The Carolina Panthers owner, Jerry Richardson, he was just forced to sell the team because of a series of sexual harassment allegations. Certainly very serious, and he should have been forced to sell the team. This, to me, is just as offensive. I don't understand what's going on here in our sports society. It's, if fans don't care about this, if you're listening and you say, well, I don't care. Like, as long as they play on the field, as long as they win me games, that's all I care about. Then you are the problem. We have to be better than this as a society. Look at Luke Heimlich for Oregon State. The only reason that the former child molester is allowed to pitch on the College World Series winning team is because fans apparently didn't care. because they only care about wins and losses and how fast you throw or how fast you run or your quarterback rating or your ERA or your points per game or your plus-minus ratio or whatever it is. Nothing else matters. It's gross. Josh Hader is gross. He's disgusting. And I wish Major League Baseball would grow a freaking spine. But they won't. Instead, the same day that all this happened, you know what Major League Baseball and their commissioner did? Oh, we'll tell you next. But apparently, they want to blame Mike Trout, the world's best player, for their complete inability to market him effectively. What do you think about this? 504-260-1870, that's the phone number. 504-260-1870. Talk about Rob Manfred and the absurdity there coming up next. It's a Rob Manfred and just what a dumpster fire his reign over Major League Baseball is becoming here in just a second. Wrapping up our conversation on Josh Hader, just offensive tweets, just a treasure trove of them were dumped yesterday. He's a pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. Uses the N-word, not just in one tweet or two tweets, in many tweets, in vulgar ways. Tweets out KKK, tweets I hate gay people, tweets that he wants to murder somebody. Uses very offensive language about women. I mean, just the, you know, he hit for the cycle on all of the offensive topics that you could touch on. Misogynist, racist, homophobic. My goodness. Just really bad stuff. That we, as sports fans, you know what? You should care about it. And if you don't care, then shame on you. I mean, really, shame on you. Here's a text from John on the West Bank who's blowing me up at 870-870. No, the problem is all the whining over some BS someone posts on the internet. Maybe these crybabies need a spine. No, John, if you think it's okay to use the N-word multiple times, to say, I hate gay people, to say, I'm going to kill you, to tweet out KKK, you're the problem. You are the problem. You are the reason that guys like Luke Heimlich are able to pitch for Oregon State after molesting, what, a four-year-old girl. It's fans like you who don't care. Let's go to Rick in Algiers. Rick, you're on WWL.
Good afternoon, Seth. I total agreement with you. There's no call, no place in baseball for this bum. But I'd also like to say I think any athlete, whether he kneels during the national anthem, does something stupid as this, they all going to hide behind the First Amendment or whatever. But it's every in the words of Trump, they all should be gone. Go get a real job, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for listening, Rick. And yeah, you can't hide behind the First Amendment. Yeah, the First Amendment allows you the right to say these things, but it also doesn't protect you from the backlash from these kind of things. And Tim points out, and rightfully so, that his teammates are kind of rallying behind him here. And you know what? It's just disgusting. The response from General Manager David Stearns is absurd. Saying, he's a good person, his team's behind him, and we'll work through this. We'll work to sensitivity training for him. Like, grow a spine. Like, we look up at these athletes and people in power and act like, you know, just because I guess that they make a lot of money, that they're above this kind of behavior? That's absurd. That's sick. It really is. You wouldn't get away with this kind of stuff. I wouldn't get away with this kind of stuff. And just because somebody makes a little more money, they got a couple more zeros on their paycheck, should not, in this country, in our society, make them above this kind of stuff. Josh Hader just certainly going to be on my you-know-what list for a very long time. Let's talk about Rob Manfred here for just a little bit. So the biggest star in Major League Baseball, let me rephrase it. The best player in Major League Baseball is Mike Trout. We've talked about him quite a bit on this show. Plays for the Los Angeles Angels. And, you know, it's interesting because he's been in the league now for a half decade plus, and he's been the best player in the league for about that whole time. Surefire Hall of Famer. The Angels' inability to put a team around him is a completely different story. But you have now, yesterday, as the All-Star game, Rob Manfred was asked some questions about, you know, why isn't Mike Trout a bigger star? Why doesn't Major League Baseball put their resources and assets behind Mike Trout to market him, to make him a household name? And you know what Rob Manfred said? Rob Manfred, instead of, you know, taking any kind of responsibility or culpability for their complete inability not only to market Mike Trout, but let's be honest here. When we do these annual polls of the most influential or most popular athletes in the country and the world, Major League Baseball is nowhere to be found anymore. This is a huge problem for the league, and it starts right at the top, and it starts with Rob Manfred. Well, Manfred apparently says, no, it's not our fault. It's Mike Trout's fault. Mike Trout, quote, has to make the decision to engage. It takes time and effort. It's his fault. Didn't say it's his fault, quote, but paraphrasing there. Blamed it all on Mike Trout. Said it's not Major League Baseball's fault. They do a fine job of marketing. What? Do you have any self-awareness at all? Like any? Major League Baseball's popularity has never been lower the past century. Has never been lower. Ratings in the modern television era have never been lower. And you know the history of Rob Manfred and the problem with Major League Baseball, one of the many problems? Rob Manfred is a New York guy. He grew up in New York City, grew up a Yankees fan and in that culture, and he's one of those blowhards who think nothing in baseball matters but Yankees, Red Sox, Upper East Coast. As long as those two franchises are humming, nothing else matters. That is what Rob Manfred believes, and his cronies in the Major League Baseball front office. If Mike Trout played for his Yankees, baseball would throw every single resource you could at making Mike Trout the biggest star on the planet. At least in this country. He played for the Red Sox, same thing. But because he doesn't, because he's on the West Coast and not in the upper Northeast, Rob Manfred cares less. And this is the exact problem with Major League Baseball and why most of you listening right now don't care about Major League Baseball. And I know Christian and Bobby talked for an hour about, you know, why is Major League Baseball having a problem with popularity, especially down here in this part of the country? This is kind of the one of the reasons why. It's not just because we don't have a Major League Baseball franchise. It's because baseball and their becoming a joke of a commissioner, Rob Manfred, the only thing they care about is the profitability and the marketability of two franchises. That is not how professional sports thrive right now in America. Look at the NFL, the model that they have built that have turned it into the behemoth that it is, the unstoppable force right now in American sports, is built on the back of parity. That no matter the size of your city or what coast you're on, or even if you're not on a coast, whether you're in Green Bay or New Orleans or New York or Jacksonville, you can win, and the league will promote the stars in those teams. Rob Manfred doesn't believe that. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, has presided over the complete deterioration of the foundation of that sport. And if you're a baseball fan, and I'm one of them, it's sad. It really is. And Rob Manfred needs to go. Take a break for CBS Sports. That's enough Major League Baseball. I'm disgusted by the Major League Baseball right now. Let's go to the NBA. Kawhi Leonard traded. We'll talk to Brad Botkin of CBS Sports. The NBA offseason, the wild and crazy offseason, almost over. Still some vestiges, I'm sure, out there. Some trades, some deals that'll still happen. But let's bring on in Jake Madison now of the Locked On Pelicans podcast to give us a Pelicans perspective on everything that's happened. Jake, what's going on, man? How are you?
Not too much. Thanks for having me on tonight, Seth.
Yeah, what do you make of the Kawhi deal, man?
Interesting. You know, I think this kind of shows that the superstars who have more leverage than we were expecting them to, forcing the return form to not be nearly as good. Let's not pretend, as much as we might like DeMar DeRozan, he's not the level player of player that Kawhi Leonard is when Kawhi Leonard's healthy. So I think, you know, Toronto got a very good deal in this. They didn't give up any of their young players. They didn't really give up any picks alongside with it. I think they improved. I actually also like this a little bit from the Spurs side. I'm not ready to write the Spurs team off just yet. You get kind of a go-to scorer in DeMar DeRozan that maybe helps him keep up with the Warriors or the Rockets a little bit more. This is kind of one of those rare win-win trades, but certainly the Spurs are going to drop down a little bit more than where they were last season.
Okay, let's get into the Pelicans here, Jake. And I still maintain, and I really do believe this, that they're more talented than they were in that series against Golden State. But I am concerned about the point guard position. They do have Ian Clark, which was nice. They brought him back, but I like Elfrid. I like that he's young. I like that his potential is there, high draft pick, everything that's been said about him. But I'm just not sure if he's, you know, the guy to run this offense in Alvin Gentry's system. What do you think?
I'm not sure if the Pelicans know 100% yet if he's going to be a starter or not and really kind of run this fast-paced offensive system that they're going to be sticking with next year. He was signed to be Rondo's backup. They were anticipating bringing Rondo back, signing him for the $8.6 million. That didn't end up happening. And it's still a bit of a kink in their offseason plan so far. So I think right now they're keeping their options open entirely. Maybe he does get elevated to being a starter, but I think that might be a little bit risky. Though if you look at the film from him last season and his stats, when he was with Orlando, when they played that faster-paced system, he did start to thrive and play good basketball. But his career has not been that productive to date, so you've got to kind of pause and have some concern there. So I think this Pelicans team will look to see if there's maybe anyone they can acquire cheaply in a trade, or maybe they go into training camp, preseason basketball, and say, okay, we're going to move Holiday back to the point guard role, which he played with the finishing five for this Pelicans team a lot of the time. You saw that in the final 5 minutes of close games, it was Rondo on the bench and Holiday running this offense. So I think they feel comfortable enough to have him do it, though they like him playing off ball more throughout the course of the game. So I think right now they don't have an answer to that question, unfortunately, and they're at least going to be proactive in kind of scouring every single option available to them.
Couldn't it be a thing where they really just want to, you know, hold serve until the trade deadline and see who's available then, because it'll, you know, won't cost you as much and there's more players that are going to be available then than there are now?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. I think if you look around the league, the majority of teams think they can make the playoffs this coming season, so they're in no position to sell off assets or trade players just yet. So guys are going to start to become available as the NBA starts to separate itself and the games start to get played and underway. And we see how the standings are starting to shake out. So I think that's where you'll see the Pelicans be active buyers. They've made big moves the past 2 years, bringing in DeMarcus Cousins 2 years ago, bringing in Nikola Mirotic last season. This was all done around the trade deadline. That's where they seem to do their best work. And I think that's kind of where we'll see maybe a bigger move happen. But look, they're burning up the phone lines. They know they need to improve this team. They want to add another wing player onto the roster. They want to bring in another veteran point guard. And there's no one really out there in free agency that's going to kind of up you a level a little bit. So certainly, maybe they get something done before, but right now there's just no incentive for other teams to trade with them.
Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Let me turn on my mic there. Jake, we got a frequent texter to the program that always wants me to ask you and Scott and everybody else about Frank Jackson, the star of the summer league for the Pelicans. Do you think that he factors in here this year?
You know, I don't think he's going to be getting significant minutes just yet. You know, his summer league was cut short after the one really good quarter and a half that he played with the team. But I think they see him as being very raw, and I don't think summer league's necessarily a great indication of whether or not a player is going to be productive at the NBA level. I think the goal originally last season would have been to put him in the D League, G League, give him a lot of minutes that way, kind of let him get out and just play and work through some rookie mistakes that he's going to make where they don't hurt you when you're in games that matter. I think that's still going to be the plan, but if they can't add another guard to this roster or if someone gets injured, that's where you'll see him get his opportunity. The Pelicans have very high hopes for him. They view him as a first-round pick, even though they drafted him in the second round, so they're going to take their time. They don't want to rush his development, and so certainly, when the time is right, he will have every opportunity to play with this team.
So do you think the Pelicans are in a position here where they can kind of ride out this Golden State storm here? I think it's crested. I think we're on the backside of that wave that maybe, you know, they're not going to compete for a title this year, no matter who they add. Truly compete for a title unless something really weird happens there. But, you know, maybe 2-3 years down the road, maybe further than that if AD sticks around. Do you think maybe they're thinking long-term here rather than now? Because, like I said, I mean, they got to see that there's no way they're winning a title this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If your ultimate goal is to win a title, it's not happening in the next 2 years or so. I agree with you that I think the Golden State kind of dynasty that they have going on right now is on the downslope. I've looked at the numbers when you factor in the luxury tax and the repeater tax and everything. You know, they're paying well over $1 billion over a four-year period in salaries. That's all, no matter how much money you're pulling in, that's a near unsustainable amount of money to pay out in that. So I think that's where you might see them have to break it up just financially. Eventually, it's going to come up and catch up with them. So I think the Pelicans are, there's a reason they don't really want to add much long-term salary that can maybe bloat their cap further down the line, prevent them from making moves when maybe the window widens a little bit more because the other teams are kind of taking a step back. You know, just despite that DeMarcus Cousins injury, they offered him $20 million a year, but it was only for 2 years. They were not willing to commit long-term money to him for that. I don't think they're willing to commit long-term money to anyone right now on this roster other than Anthony Davis and maybe Jrue Holiday. Potentially Julius Randle, depending on how he does this year as well. So they do need to be very conscious of, hey, 2 or 3 years down the line, you still might have Anthony Davis. Your window's going to open up. So at the trade deadline, you know, they might be looking to be a little bit more careful. There's a guy like Harrison Barnes out there who makes a lot of money but might clog your cap up down the line, and maybe that's the reason they kind of pump the brakes on a move like that. So they're kind of in a weird position where you need to be focused on the now to try and win, to try and sell Anthony Davis on that next contract. But once he signs that contract, you need to have an eye on that as well. So they're kind of stuck in no man's land right now.
So bottom line, where do you see the Pelicans right now fitting in the Western Conference?
You know, I definitely think they're a playoff team. I think Julius Randle is a great fit next to Anthony Davis for this Gentry ball system that they like to run, where they shoot early in the shot clock, they get out and just play in transition. And I think that's going to lead to a lot of wins. We've seen this team get off to slow starts in years past. I don't expect that this year. I think they've got kind of this killer instinct mentality that Rondo brought to them, which maybe helps them overcome a lot of those real boneheaded losses, particularly at home to the bottom-dwelling teams like the Dallas Mavericks of years past, like the Sacramento Kings last year. They do that. They're solidly in. I think they fight for maybe the 5 seed, the 4 seed, something like that. Of course, injuries can change it, but certainly now the Western Conference is a whole lot tougher, and it's going to be a dogfight all year, not just the final part of the season.
Jake, really appreciate the time, man. We'll have you on again, I know, as the training camp gets underway in a couple months. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Seth.
Right, Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. That podcast's still going right now. You can find that in your favorite podcasting app store or LockedOnPelicans.com. Jake's at NolaJake on Twitter. We'll take a break. We're coming back. We're wrapping up the hour. We'll have an update on our WWL Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. What's the most critical piece of having a championship NFL team? Elite quarterback, elite coaching, outstanding pass rush, great offensive line, or something else? Log on to WWL.com. You can cast your vote there. You can also cast your vote on the Radio.com app, favorite WWL. I'm Seth Dunlap. Double coverage continues next. You were talking about Major League Baseball earlier, and Josh Hader got a chain of texts I want to read to you. Somebody very passionate here from the 504. Hey, Seth, everyone needs to stop attending games, watching games on TV, and big companies stop advertising. If all that happens, they would be below us. Thank you, Darren. Again, stop attending the games. I am offered tickets. I won't even go if they are free. And I recently heard on Bobby Hebert's show that there's been a 10% drop in TV ratings. We need a 50 to 60% drop. Yeah, I'm pretty disgusted, to be honest, by what happened this week in Major League Baseball. Just a variety of things. With Josh Hader, the response from the commissioner's office to it, really from the response of the Milwaukee Brewers organizations to it. And then they just compounded their issues by trying to blame Mike freaking Trout for the league's inability to market him effectively. Like, really, like Manfred comes out, Rob Manfred, the commissioner, and says, "Nah, this is all Mike Trout's fault. Nothing to see here. We're doing okay." I mean, really? Ratings are a shell of what they once were. The sport is at a crisis of popularity, especially with people under the age of 25. I'm telling you, Rob Manfred he needs to go. Tim, you're a big Major League Baseball guy. I gave Rob Manfred 5 years. I'm done. They need to move on to somebody with new ideas, a fresher face. Like he's a joke right now.
I think he's done a way better job than Roger Goodell, though. I think Roger Goodell is still he's probably not even – Roger Goodell and an NHL commissioner Bettman. Are way more hated than Rob Manfred, though. I will say that.
Yeah. No, that's – look, if we're taking a popularity contest, there's no doubt. You would be right on there. Take a break for news. We're back, though, next hour. We've got Fill in the Blank weekly segment. Tim gives me some topics I got to fill in the blank with my responses. It's pretty fun. We'll have our NBA power rankings. We'll talk to Brad Botkin, NBA writer for CBS Sports. And then Ben Jones, TideSports.com and Tuscaloosa News. That's coming up next. Seth Dunlap, WWL.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.